Okay, we're doing Rosh Hashanah Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, and maybe Tet Zayin. Well, we'll definitely do part of the Gemara from Tet Zayin Amud Bet. I know the top is cut off, so it's a Masnisen. It's the Mishnah at the top. This is probably the most famous daf in Rosh Hashanah, and has a lot of really well known pieces. And even if it's not well known, it should be well known, as you'll see. Okay,
we'll make it well known.
Yeah, here we go. We're going to do that right now. Masnisin. Mishnah says, Ba'arba prakim ha'olam nidon. This you all know. Ba'pesach ala tfuah ba'atzaret al piros ha'ilan b'rosh Hashanah kol bo'ilam over in the front of Kivnei Maron. Shneemar. Hayotze yachlibam ha'mevin al kol ma'aseh. Uvachag nidonin al ha'mayim. So there are four different parts to the world, to the year rather. Four different chapters or moments. And at each one, a judgment is put into play. One is on Pesach, and that judgment is for the tefuah, for the grain over the year. One is on Atzeret, that is for the fruit, not the grain, but the fruit. Rosh Hashanah is the people, essentially. And then finally, on Chag, you get judged for the water. Chag, of course, being Sukkot. Okay, simple enough. There's some discussion about Kivnei Maron, what exactly it means, whether it means like sheep, whether it means like soldiers. Two different interpretations about that, but that's for a different Gemara that we're not going to see tonight. Okay, simple enough. But is it really simple? Or who wants to read Tosfos? Let's try this. Who wants to read Tosfos? It's not a hard Tosfos. Who wants to give it a shot? Anybody? Yo, go ahead. Go ahead, why not?
בפסח על התבואה.
Yeah.
פרק משמיתו מוטל לפניו, לגבי חסיד שהקניתו אשתו ערב ראש השנה.
You guys know that story? Story in Gemara in Brachos about this man. It's like a Jack and the Beanstalk story. It's awesome. This guy, how does it start? Yeah, basically he goes to the market and he sells something. Oh, man, I'm forgetting now how it starts, but basically he goes to the market and he sells something in a silly way that he really shouldn't have done, and then he goes home and his wife kicks him out of the house. And they're in such a fight that he has to go and sleep in the cemetery, as you do. And he goes to sleep in the cemetery, and that night he overhears spirits in the cemetery saying, "Oh, did you hear, you know, about what's going on in heaven? Me'acharei ha'pargod." And one of them says, "Yeah, we heard that anybody who plants this year is between these months is going to have a really bad year. And anybody who plans between these months, they have a really good year."
It's like the story with the birds and Shlomo HaMelech. He goes and he hears the two birds.
So he does that. So he hears that. And then he when he gets up in the morning, he decides he's going to try this out. So he plants according to what makes sense based on what the angels said, what the spirits said. And he makes a lot of money. Then the next year, he goes back to the cemetery again to find out, you know, what's the forecast for this year. He finds out, and he does it once again, and he makes a lot of money. And then the next year, he goes back, and there's also an extra part there that I don't remember exactly the sequence, but basically he overhears that one of the ladies, one of the spirits is having some kind of personal problem with somebody else, which he reveals later, and that's how the angels find out. The angels find out because he reveals to his wife something, and then the wife blabs it to, like, the neighbor. Like, something, I can't remember exactly, but something like, he hears Lashon Hara about the neighbor, and he tells his wife, and then the wife, in a moment of anger, says that to the neighbor, and then one of the spirits kind of hears about it. The whole Gemara is actually about the opposite, about whether or not the dead know about the living. That's what the Gemara is about. The Gemara is about whether the dead know what's going on in the living world. And so this is supposed to prove that they do, because it overhears the pain of the neighbor, which is a relative of one of the spirits, and that's how they finally say we should stop talking about this. Somebody's listening, and that's how the Gemara ends. Now the point being over there, though, all of this is being brought by Tosfos. He just mentions the story. Mm-hmm. Why? Because mashma what, Yoel?
Mashma de Rosh Hashanah. No.
Yeah, it was Rosh Hashanah that he heard this.
Mashma de Rosh Hashanah shama shnei ruchot shemesaprim zo et zo. ששמעו מאחורי הפרגוד, שכל הזורה בערבי הראשונה, basically, which you
told, ברד מלכה אותו. And it's going to get ruined. So, but wait a second. So, but that's not a judgment that's supposed to take place on Rosh Hashanah. That's supposed to take place probably on Sukkot, or Pesach, or whatever. whatever one it's matim for, but it's not kivnei maron, right? It's not kol echad nidon. So what's going on? Okay.
בשמה בשמיים בראש השנה היו מזכירים דין הנגזר בפסח.
All right, one answer. We don't know how it works up there, but maybe in Shemayim there was a sneak preview or something on Rosh Hashanah somehow. Who knows?
אינם כרבי יהודה.
Or, as we're going to see, that there are other opinions here.
דאמר הכל נידונים בראש השנה וגזר דין בפסח על התבועה.
So this is a classic sneak peek Tosfos. He kind of spoiled part of the Gemara for us. But as we're going to see, there are different opinions that differ from our Mishnah. We all know this Mishnah, right? Everybody knows this Mishnah. This is like Dvarim Pshutim. Everybody knows this. Well, not so simple as we're going to see. So let's start the Gemara. First thing that the Gemara does is it tries to get technical. I always love when Gemara tries to get technical about these seemingly, I don't want to call them hashkafic, but, you know, celestial issues, like how things work. But the Gemara wants to know, Hai Tvua, the Tvua that we have at any distinct point in time, how do we know when it was judged? In other words, the Tvua that I have, let's say on Yud Chet Nisan. All right, so I have Tvua growing in my field in Yud Chet Nisan. When was that Tvua judged? Ilema, if I say Hatvua de Kaima, Kolhani Harpatke de Adua la Emat Iton. If I say that the judgment, right, the judgment that occurs on Pesach is for Tevuah that grows after Pesach, then when did all the Tevuah that got judged, now that's sitting in my field right now, when did that get judged? Where did that come from? Everything that happened to until now, what's Harpatkai? What's a harpatka in modern Hebrew? In modern Hebrew, it means adventure. But in the Gemara, it just means events, right? There's no adventures happening to the Tevuah. Here, it just means all the things that happened to it, whether it was a good winter or a bad winter, whether there was some kind of pestilence or whether there was a really good yield or whatever it was. All the things that happened to it until now, before Pesach, that precede Pesach, when was that set down that was going to happen? Because it's all the same yield, it's all the same Tevuah. So how did that get decided? Ella, tvuah mizdara. Rather, what happens on Pesach is only the tvuah that's going to grow when? Next year. In other words, on Pesach we are praying, so to speak, for a din which will only go into will only implemented in the coming season. In other words, in the next season, after the harvest. Okay. And the stuff that's in our field right now, that's from last year's Pesach.
Wouldn't you think that was nothing?
Okay. So the Gemara says, Lememra decha dina mitena.
I think it's wrong to judge it then.
What do you mean?
How would you judge before you even planted it?
No, well, it's a judgment of now about how next year's crop is going to go.
How successful you're going to be.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make a difference when you planted it. It's like right now you merit next year getting...
Hashem looks at the world right now, whether it's individual, whether it's communal, whatever, and he says, all right, next year's yield is going to be good or it's going to be bad. Or your yield is going to be good or bad. It's not clear right now. Let's say as individuals. Your yield right now, Hashem says, your yield is going to be good or bad, Pesach. Next year. On Pesach, he says, next year. That's what the Gemara is saying right now. But then immediately it says, what? Does that mean that there's only one judgment for each yield? V'hatanya. But wait a second. There's a braita that says, Tvuashi Rabba Keri O Onis Kodem Apesach Nidonit Lishaavar Lachar Apesach Nidonit Lahaba Adam Shi Rabbo Keri O Onis Kodem Yom Kippurim Nidon Lishaavar Lachar Yom Kippurim Nidon Lahaba. The Gemara Raisa says explicitly that anything that happens to the Tvuah before Pesach is from the previous year's judgment, and everything that happens after Pesach is from this year's judgment. And the same is true of a person. Anything that happened to you before Yom Kippur is from last year, and everything that happens to you after Yom Kippur is from this year. So it is split.
Actually, the 12 says an element of water, and we have a different judgment time for water. So in other words, there's a time...
It's true. It's kind of confusing to figure out what it means to be judged on Tvuah and then separately to be judged on water. I presume there are other things that happen to the wheat besides for water. Whether or not there was good water. You know, there's going to be all kinds of things. The weather, other kinds of weather elements, the animals, disasters, pestilence, all kinds of things.
Unless you have two opportunities.
What do you mean?
In other words, you have a judgment, whether it's going to be good or bad, as a starting point. And then there's almost like an interim period where Hashem sees whether you to actually...
You know, that's an interesting idea. But for now, let's assume that there's only one point, because otherwise we don't know what's the meaning of any judgment point if it's getting judged at every single moment. Over here, we seem to be going with the admittedly surprising theory that there is a point in which it's judged, and that is ongoing, and that is not going to change. It's not going to change. Yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, for now, it sounds like it. That's what a judgment means, right? What does it mean to say that that the yield is judged on Pesach? It must mean that it's judged on Pesach. And that's it.
And if things change, it can change.
For now, it doesn't seem to mean. Yeah. It doesn't seem to leave that open, right? I mean, otherwise, it's kind of meaningless.
Well, for now, Rosh Hashanah is a judgment, but you still have Yom Kippur, you still have Rosh Hashanah.
So it's interesting because over here it says anything that happens to you before Yom Kippur is from the last year, and everything that happens after Yom Kippur is from this year.
But you can.
Yeah, but that makes sense because you're judged only once a year, let's say.
This is assuming that we are judged once a year and that is implemented this coming year. In other words, like, you know, you're at work and your job says, and your boss says, okay, now I'm going to decide whether you get a bonus. That's it. That's your bonus for the year. That's it. You don't get a new bonus every month. You get a bonus for the year. Admittedly, that's based on the previous year. But, yeah, and that's it. There's no, you know, you get a salary every month, but the bonus only happens once a year. So that's what this is. Okay.
No, but bonus is backward looking, this is forward looking.
You're right. So it's different, but it's still the same idea. Although I'm not so sure.
No.
I mean, a bonus is based on previous performance.
Yeah,
but this is also based on previous performance, presumably. For now. Right? When you get judged on Yom Kippur, what are you being judged for?
Okay.
You haven't done anything in this coming year. It must be on the previous year.
Okay.
I think.
Your bonus is love.
Yeah,
right.
It would seem, and that's not going to change. It's a one. It's a lump sum that you get paid out
over the year.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Amar Rava Shmamina Trei Dinamitin. Oh, this seems to be proof that Rava says this is proof that it gets split. In other words, there's two dinim for the tvua each yield. There's whatever happens before Pesach and whatever happens after Pesach. Why is this important? Amar Abaye Hilkach. What does that mean? Abaye says, if you see that in the first, I guess the first revia that happens before Pesach, that your crop is doing really well, what should you do? You should hurry up and plant so it will have time to grow before Pesach happens, because you see that it's working, you know, okay, this is a good year. I got to get it in as quickly as I can so I can make sure to squeeze everything I can out of this year, because my field is fertile this year. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know what's going to happen after Pesach. I have to make sure to get it in before Pesach, because otherwise I may miss my chance. Okay? Now, here we go to the next part. Mani matnitin. What does money mean?
Who
is the author of the Mishnah? Because I'll tell you who it's not. Lo Rabbi Meir, Velo Rabbi Yehuda, Velo Rabbi Yossi, Velo Rabbi Natan. Can't be any of those four. How do I know? Titania, there's a brisa that says, Hakol nidonim b'rosh Hashanah, u'gzar din shalahem nechtam b'yom kippurim divrei Rabbi Meir. Everything is judged. Everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah. And then there's a chatima on Yom Kippurim. When Rabbi Meir says everything, what does he mean? He doesn't mean all people. He means everything. All four categories are judged on Rosh Hashanah and sealed on Yom Kippur. So he added two things. Number one, he made it that everything happens on Rosh Hashanah. Number two, he added on this chatima that we don't have in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda omer hakol nidon Rosh Hashanah u'gzar din shalem nechtam kol echad ve'echad bizmano. בפסח על התפועה, בעצרת על הפירות אילן, בחג נידון על המים, ועד המידון בראש השנה, וגזר הדין שלו נחת ביום בכיפור. Rabbi Yehuda has this element of four different time periods, but it's only for the chatima of the gzar din, and Rosh Hashanah is only the beginning of the din. Okay? So he's the closest, but he's not so quite.
He feels like, does it imply it's left open for appeal? It's,
What is the difference between Gzar Din and Chatima?
Yeah.
So the simplest one that I saw was that I don't know whether this is an accurate analogy, was that the original Din is kind of like a conviction, let's say if you're guilty, conviction or acquittal, and then the chatima is the sentencing. I don't know whether that holds up, or whether it's just kind of the original din is kind of like, okay, you're told that this is your din, and then you have the opportunity to change it until Yom Kippur. That seems to be the way that we generally treat it. Okay, appeal. Yeah, you have that long to make an appeal, and of course your appeal will probably include trying to change who you are so that you can get a better deal. Okay, so that is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Omer Adam Nidan B'chol Yom Shenamar Tikudenu L'Karim. Rabbi Yosi seems to say this whole thing is silly. Every day we're judged. How does he know? Because it says V'Tifkedenu L'Bekarim. Tifkedenu Lashon Tifkud, right? Which is Pikadon, which is not a deposit, but rather checking or designating, right? A mefaked. Lavakarim meaning to mornings, every single day. Rabbi Nasa, in the fourth opinion, Omer Adam Nidon B'chol Sha'a. Shneimar L'Regaim Tifchanenu. Rabbi Nasa says, no, we're not kidding around. Every moment a person is judged anew, and he seems to give no special treatment to any distinct point during the year. So you have four opinions, and none of them mirror exactly our Mishnah. So Amar Rav Chista, no, sorry, Amar Rav, no, where did I go?
V'chitema.
V'chitema lo olam Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda because he was the closest, right? He had four different time periods. V'chichtani masnis and agzaydin. Maybe the four different time periods that are mentioned in our Mishnah, those are all chatima. Those are all. Gzardin, right? Those are all Gzardin. And really, what the Mishnah didn't tell you is that everything is Nechtam on Yom Kippur. So it says, no, but take a look at what he said. Where did I go? Gzardin, Ihachi Kasha Adam. The problem is, what about Adam? Because Rabbi Yehuda said, Hakol Nidona Rosh Hashanah Gzardin Shalem Nechtam Kol Echad Bizma'ah. It's the opposite, sorry. He wants to say that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to the Mishnah, maybe the beginning of the din is on Rosh Hashanah and the chatima is on each one of those time periods. But the problem is that Rabbi Yehuda says that the chasima for each person is on Yom Kippur. And our Mishnah would have said that that would be Rosh Hashanah because it doesn't even mention Yom Kippur. Yeah? So we can't go with Rabbi Yehuda. We're close, but no cigar. So, Amar Rava, Hai Tana Debe Rabbi Shmali. So Rava says, you're right. It's none of those four. It's really the author of the Tana Debe Rabbi Shmali. The Tana Debe Rabbi Shmal, Barba Prakim Haolam Nidon, BePesach Al Tzvua, BAtzeres Al Peres Eilim, BChag Nidon Al Amayim, BAdam Nidon Rosh Hashana. Which I didn't show Nechtam Yom Kippur, BeChitani Masnisan Atchilas Din. Everything is fine. Our Mishnah and this Brayta or this Tana Debe Rabbi Shmal are the same. It's all talking about the Gzar Din, and our Mishnah just doesn't mention that the Chasim Asadin is on Yom Kippurim, Abalino the Toba. Okay, fine. So that's how Rava deals with this problem. We're going to go back to this soon. Amar Rav Chista. He goes into Rabbi Yosi. My time is Rabbi Yosi. Why does Rabbi Yosi say that a person is judged every day? So the first thing the Gemara does is say, that's a silly question. What do you mean? Kedikamar tame. Batifikadenu levakarim. He gave us a pasuk that proved it. So no. You didn't understand me. Anan hachi kamina. My time lo amar kerabi nasan. Rabbi Nassan also had a pasuk, right? His pasuk was La Regaim Tifchanenu. What's the difference? Why did Rabbi Yossi pick his pasuk over Rabbi Nassan's pasuk? So maybe you'll tell me that Rabbi Nassan's pasuk it says Vatifchanenu Bechina Iyuni Baalmahi. No. Vatifchanenu doesn't mean that he's going to judge you. It just means that he's going to be looking at you. So the Gemara says, well, then I would tell you Pekida Nami Iyuni Baalmahu. Maybe from his pasuk Vatifchanenu LeBekarim is also just looking at us. In other words, there's no reason to think that there's any difference between Vatifchanenu and Vatifkanenu. So why what's the difference? Ela, Amar Chista Taimid Rabbi Yosi Mehacha. Of course, another pasuk. La'asot mishpat avdo, u'mishpat amo Yisrael d'vayom b'yomo. All right. Now, I'm at a loss here to explain why he doesn't quote that pasuk, if that's his pasuk. If Rabbi Yosi is relying on this pasuk, then why doesn't he actually just mention that? I don't know. Rav Chista found another pasuk to support Rabbi Yosi. Now, once we're on Rav Chista, we quote another teaching of Rav Chista, a very interesting one. Maybe especially interesting in election time. Amar of Chista, Melech v'tzibur, when a king and the community is being judged by God, who is judged first? Melech nichnas tchila ledin, sh'ne'emar, Melech goes in first, sh'ne'emar, asot mishpat avdo, mishpat amo Yisrael, this is the pasuk you just quoted, right? Mishpat avdo first, and then mishpat amo Yisrael, mishpat avdo here, who's the avdo? It's the king, ironically. So, okay, fine. My time out, but why? Why should the king go first instead of the community? Two answers. Maybe it's not nice for the people to go in and leave the king on the outside. In other words, what, he's going to just sit there outside while the people are in there getting judged? It's not nice. Okay. Or maybe... So this is interesting. So it says that the king should go in first before God gets too angry. In other words, he shouldn't have to bear the full brunt of God's anger. Once he goes in, Hashem's going to start getting angry. And then when they bring in the tzibur, then everything will be much worse. I just think it's interesting that the king gets judged separately from the tzibur.
Not only that, but God's anger can carry over.
Uh-huh. Right.
Individual case.
That is
if you think of Moshe Rabbeinu, although he wasn't a king, you certainly would want him to go plead at the end.
If it was Moshe Rabbeinu,
that was a good point.
Because you know that
if Hashem's anger was fled, then you know you definitely you'd want him to go in last and say, you know.
The king's running for himself.
He's a leader and he knows what's going on with his people. He knows what to apologize for in advance.
Fair enough.
So maybe the king or maybe Moshe is judged to a much higher standard and therefore...
Not himself. Not himself. If he knows what the people have done over the year, he needs to apologize for them. If he's
I don't think he's apologizing for himself. I think I don't think he's apologizing for the people. I think he's being judged on his own.
I think that also makes sense, that to go in first and to be judged on your own performance, you know, how you've done as a leader, as a whatever else. But I think it's also the opportunity to basically put a good word in for what comes next.
For the people?
Yeah.
And to explain them, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Explain what they've done, say, you know, this is...
You might be the best leader.
Of course, there's a concern that he's just going to throw everybody under the bus, isn't there? That's what we expect from our leaders now.
It's an election. Modern election politics.
What happened today? You publish the results in the, you know,
I'm just looking now in the Marasha. He asks my question. I didn't notice this before. He asked my question: why does Rabbi Yossi not bring the pasuk there of Chista? If Rav Chista is right that this is the pasuk Rabbi Yossi is based on, why doesn't he bring it? So he asked this question. Rabbi Yossi brought his pasuk because it's more specific, because it tells you that it's in the morning that the judgment occurs. Bakarim. Which is important, by the way. It's actually important halachically. You know that on Rosh Hashanah, this is true for every day apparently, but on Rosh Hashanah, if you're davening by yourself, right? You should tell your wives. If they're davening, they don't go to shul, let's say, on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. Right? If they're davening in the house, so they should daven shacharis along with at the same time that they know that the tzibur is davening, and make sure not to daven musaf before the tzibur will get up to it. Because it's very, it's considered a time of din, and they want to make sure to do it with the rest of the tzibur. He says, as the Gemara in Mordezari says, the lo litzli inish tzluta de musaf, don't daven musaf, Rosh Hashanah, begimel shai kamaita, don't daven in the first 3 hours, mishim dekeva nemif gadina, because that's the time of din. Dilma ma'ayni ba'uvdei v'ayinu ba'boker shehuzman tefillat shachar. Actually, it seems to be saying nobody should daven musaf the first 3 hours, which explains why shachars take so long. That's why you should make sure to have. So maybe this is a reason not to go to the early minyan. Yeah, it's a reason not to go to the early minyan, maybe. So interesting. So that's how he explains it. He says, Rabbi Yossi quotes his pasuk because he wants you to understand that it's actually in the morning that Hashem judges, and not at any other time during the day.
Well,
Well, there actually is a Gemara with Hashem's schedule for the day. There's a Gemara about Hashem's schedule for the day. Part of it involves playing with the Leviathan, and I forget the rest of it. It's kind of Gemara you should remember, but I don't remember it. I don't know what these things mean, but that's interesting. Okay. Good, so that's the Melech Tzibur. All right, now here's a major sugi that we're going to talk about. Amar of Yosef. Keman matzlinan ha'idna. According to whom do we daven? In other words, our sitter has to follow one of these four opinions, or five opinions, rather. But here's the problem. Keman matzlinan ha'idna, aktiri v'amiriye. When we daven about people getting sick, right? Sicknesses and ailments, we daven every day that people should be healed. But isn't that asking for a change in the middle of the year? So Gemara says, well, it must be Kiman Rabbi Yossi. It must be Rabbi Yossi. We daven every day. Rabbi Yossi says we're judged every day. Why? It doesn't say also Rabbi Nassim. It's a good question, but it doesn't make sense, as we were saying before, it doesn't make sense according to the Tana of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Huda, according to Rabbi Meir. There's only one time. You're judged on Rosh Hashanah whether you're going to get sick and when you're going to get sick. There's no point in praying. According to Rabbi Yossi, it makes sense to pray.
You do three times a day, which holds more like Rabbi Nassim.
Yeah, that's true. V'baiteima, here comes the save. La'olam kirabanan, ukud Rabbi Yitzchak, dam Rabbi Yitzchak, yafetza akal adam, ben kodem gzarede, ben lachar gzarede. So Rabbi Yitzchak changes the rules of the game. Rabbi Yitzchak says, even if there is a gzar din, you can always change it using tzaka, just tefillah. So everything we've set up until now, that's just at a very low level. But you can go higher, or deeper rather, and as long as you pray, as you do tzaka properly, you can change everything. And that's only the second opinion, though. Fine. Tanya. Bryce says, "Amar Rabbi Huda, Mishum Rabbi Kiva, Mipnei Ma Amar Torah Heviu Omer BePesach Mipnei SheHapesach Zman Tefuahu." Mark Hashem Baruch Hu Heviu LaFanei Omer BePesach Kadesh SheTitbarach Lehem Tefuah SheBesados. So, going to go through each of these time periods. Why do we bring the Omer on Pesach? When do we bring the Omer on Pesach? When do we bring the Omer? No. Tetzai on the second night. So it's interesting. When we've been saying that, you know, Pesach is the time of the din for the tefua, I think we all had in our mind that it was Pesach itself that was the time of the tefua. Yeah, Pesach matzah makes sense. It's not. It's actually the Ktzirat Omer, which is the second night of Pesach. It's not even really Pesach. It's just the tekufa of Pesach. And why do we bring the Omer? Because we're saying to Hashem, Hashem says, "Lefi lufanai Omer Pesach kadesh yitbarach lechem tefua shebesados." Each one of the korbanot, the netziv goes into this, each one of the korbanot that we have, and our brachot nowadays replace the korbanot, are meant to symbolically bring more shefa into the world based on an action that we do. So in other words, what Hashem is saying over here is, bring the omer, and I will in response bring more omer, I will bring more tevuah. And in the next one, Mibnei ma amra Torah haviu shtei lechem batzeret, mibnei shatzeret zman perot ha'ilan hu. Mar HaKadosh Baruch Hu haviu lefanei shtei ha'lechem batzeret, kedei shitbarachu lechem perot ha'ilan. Now why shtei ha'lechem is connected to perot ha'ilan is a good question, because it's also wheat, right? It's an interesting thing. It occurs to me that a possible answer might be that you know, the Gemara in Brachos says that there are four options of what the Eitz HaDa'at was. You know what they were?
Pomegranate.
No. Etrog.
Wheat.
Fig. Etrog. Fig.
Date.
No. Etrog. Teina. Whichever the one that is. I always think. Yeah, fig. Good.
Wheat. No.
A grape. And wheat. And what's strange is that wheat is not usually seen as a...
Tree.
Yeah, as a fruit, according to the standard designation. But either things have changed, which is possible, or it's just generally viewed as a fruit. Even though you would actually make a bari pira adama if you had wheat in front of you, and what's interesting is that if I'm right, and maybe that's the answer over here, then somehow wheat gets separated from barley according to that, because the omer is brought from barley, and shtei lechem is brought from wheat. What
Rashi says?
What does Rashi say? I didn't look. All right, Shtei Alechem. Yoratza al Perot Ha'ilin, Shehen Matirin Lehavi Bikurim, Shehen Mavin Bikurim Kodem La'atzaret, Achtir Bikuri Ktsir Chitim. Vanish Madi Dor Yehuda L'tamei, Da'a Azla Kaman Da'amar B'Sanhedrin, Eit Shachal Adamish N'chita Ha'ita. I must have read this Rash. This happens sometimes, by the way, when you read things. Shall I tell you a funny story of this happening? One time I was learning the sugya of Shachtei Rabba the Reb Zera. Gemara in Megillah that says that one time Reb Zera and Rabba were together and Rabba got a little bit out of hand. And he killed Rabbi Zera, and then he prayed, and he shachted, and whatever that means. And then he brought him back to life, whatever. Yeah, so I remembered somehow, I don't know which one I was learning. I was either learning that Gemara or the Gemara in Shabbos. And the Gemara in Shabbos, I think it's in Shabbos, talks about how each mazal has a different quality, and depending on the mazal you're born under, that will have an influence on what kind of person you're going to be. And one of the mazal ma'adim, right, Mars, makes you into a bloodthirsty person. Makes you a violent person. And I remember the Gemara said that Rabba said, but I was born under mazal ma'adim, and I'm not violent. And they said to him, what are you talking about? You're a moel. And the Gemara goes on to say, if you're born under mazal ma'adim, so you could either be a murderer, or a shochet, or a mohel. And those are varying degrees of how you can kind of act out your mazal. And I thought to myself, oh, that's interesting. When Rabba got drunk, he killed Rabbi Zera. But nichnas yayin, yatzasod, whatever it is, was in him, so it became uncontrollable when he drank. And that's what the Gemara is telling you. The Gemara is telling you, it wasn't Stam that it was Rabba. It was Rabba because, you know, most people get drunk, they don't kill anybody. Right? But Rabba killed because that's the kind of person that was, that's what was inside of him, that he had under control until this moment. I thought this is brilliant, no? If I may say so, this is a brilliant, what they call tzushtel. Until I was looking at one of my svarim, and I noticed that somebody quoted this in the name of the Chassam Sofer, and I had underlined it. Which means that I didn't come up with that myself. This is what happens. Good. So that's what Rashi says. Very good. Okay. So that's, you got Pesach, and you got Atzeret. And finally, we have Sukkot. Mibnei ma'am ratora nischu mayim b'chag. Amar gadesh baruch hu nischu lefanei mayim b'chag kadesh shetitvarach hu lechem gish mea shana. Right, Hashem says, do these symbolic things towards me, and then I will reciprocate towards you. V'amru lefanei b'rosh hashana malchi lezichronis v'shofros. Malchios kadesh tamlchuni aleichem, zichronis kadesh yaleichem zochirei lefanei letova, ubameh b'shofar. So you're supposed to say these things. What's interesting is, what did it not say?
Zichronos.
No, it's not zichronos shofros. I think what's interesting, it did not say, blow the shofar. It says, imru lefanei. Right? Why doesn't it say, blow the shofar, and then I will give you something, you know, good. And also, what's he giving us in return, by the way? Well, it seems like Kadesh Yala Zichronechem Lefane Letova. We say to him the Malchios, so then he will allow our Zichronos to come up to him, and then we'll be forgiven. Ubameh Bashofar. And the Shofar kind of helps it out. The big machok is about the Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, whether they're Daraisa or not. What are Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros? So it's a combination of the Psukim and the brachot that go along with them, right? Now, are the machlios, zechonos, and shofros, are they daraisa, or are they only darabanan?
Well, you make a bracha.
So, yeah, make a bracha, some darabanan. So the Gemara, all the way at the end, seems to give the biggest proof. The Ramban quotes this as the biggest proof. The Gemara says, if you're standing at a fork in the road, and in front of you are two cities, and it's like 20 minutes before Rosh Hashanah, you can only go to one of them. And in one city, they have a shofar, and somebody knows how to blow the shofar, but no sidurim, and nobody knows the psukim by heart. And in the other town, they have only sidurim, no shofar. Which one should you go to?
Shofar.
You go to the shofar. The Gemara says, Pasha, you go to the shofar, because the shofar is daraisa, and the malchus, zechonos, and shofars are only darabanan. Open and shut case, right? The problem is that Rashi, ala Torah, when he gets to Zichron Shura, I think it's on the word Zichron Shura, it's either Zichron Shura or Yom Shura, I forget which one it is. So he says, oh, this is telling you, Imru Lefanei Machli Zichron Shura. That's his Perush on the Pasuk, implying that it is Doraisa. And the Ramban goes to town on Rashi. He says, what are you talking about? How could it be? Now, there are different ways of understanding Rashi. I once gave a shiur and shul on why is Rashi wrong? Why is Rashi wrong all the time? And I basically have a list of all the places I know from Ramban where it's clear that Ramban's right, where Rashi says something and it's wrong. He quotes an opinion that is not lahalacha, and he gives it as pshat in his chumash. Like, why would you do that, Rashi? So, of course, there are always answers. So for this, there was Rav Soloveitchik has an answer based on the Netziv. And I heard Rav Asher Weiss say this as well, but not in the name of either one of them. He says that Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, without a shofar, are only Darabanan. But when there's a shofar, they rise to the level of Daraisa. Which is a nice way of reading this Gemara. Imru Lefani Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, Kadesh Tam Lichuni Aleichem, they work together. So when you have a shofar, they become daraisa. But when you don't have a shofar, they're only darabanan. Interesting. Okay, fine. This is a new thing. He says, why do we blow with the shofar shel ayil? Marko Dishbarachu. Tiku lefanei shofar shel ayil kadesh es kor lachem echidas yisrael ben Avram umal ani aleichem kilo akad etam esvchem lefanei. So he was asking, Rabbi Yehuda was asking a very specific question: why do we dafka use ayil? Ayil as opposed to anything else. Now, just quickly, Tosas on the bottom over here, b'shofar shel ayil. Tosas on the left says, b'perkahu based in Tanan Rabbi Yosi machshir af b'shel para. Of course, you can use shel para according to Rabbi Yosi. Aval kaimelan Rabbi Yehuda the token b'shel ayilim kfufim kitabaskin and hatam begemar. So there's some machlokas over here. That Rabbi Abba seems to be following, though, Rabbi Yehuda, that we use ayil. Fine. Now, Al Rabbi Yitzhak, Lama Tokin Rosh Hashanah. This is a funny question. I think Gemara thinks it's a funny question. Lama Tokin, Rechmana Amar Tiku. Because Hashem said, blow. What do you mean, why do we blow? Yes, when I blow with an ayil, I understand. But why do we blow? Hashem said, blow. Now, the truth is, did Hashem say blow? Shem. How do we know we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah?
Shem Truah.
Okay, what does that mean?
Day of Truah.
Okay, how do you know what Truah means?
So say Truah.
So it's pretty clear, it never says it. The only way we know it is because on Yovel, on Yom Kippur of Yovel, have you a shofar? Right, we do blow a shofar, and the word Truah shows up there. So we make the connection, we understand that, okay, Truah is with a shofar. Truah could have been b'tza'aka, with our mouths. So it never actually directly says to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah in the Torah. It's a different shiur about how we get all the kolot that we do.
Is there also Truah by the straw?
Yeah.
Does it?
I
don't know.
I think so.
Could be. Well, it doesn't say shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There is another meaning to truah. Why do we not use the chatzotot one? I don't know. It's a good question. But maybe because the shofar shows up on Yovel. I don't know. All right. So Rabbi Yitzchak asked, how do we know blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So Gemara says, what do you mean? He said blow. All right, fine, he said blow. El lama meri'in. Why do we do truah? Meri'in rachman amar, zichron truah. What do you mean? You weren't listening. Hashem said zichron truah. Yom truah, zichron truah. Twice. What question is this? No, you don't understand. Ela lama tokin umeri'in keshe yoshvin. Okay, that's pretty specific. Why do we sit doing tkiyah and shura, and then token and marine kishen omdim. You know, we do two sets of shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah. No matter what edah you're from, no matter what minag you're from, you do two sets. You do one set in right after shacharis,
right,
and then one set either during or after musaf.
Right.
Either during the musaf amida, the silent amida, or in the chazaras hashatz. One way or the other, you blow the shofar. And then you do all the ones at the end, but that's a separate thing. What? That's the ones. Which ones are the first ones? That's the first ones. We don't actually sit, but they're called Kiyos Diyoshvin.
It's not in Tfilat Amida.
It's not Amida.
Yeah. That's just called, they're called Yoshvin. So why do we do it twice, though? We don't have to do it twice. Torah never says to do it two sets. That's 30 and then 30. And then we do the 40 at the end. But why do you do two sets of 30? Well, famous answer. Kedei la'arbev ha-satan. To confuse the satan. What does that mean, to confuse the satan? Let's look at Rashi for now. Shelo yashtin kishayishma Yisrael mechavavin et ha-mitzvot u'mistat min dvarav. So here, la'arbev doesn't mean to confuse. It means to nullify, to flummox him. So that he kind of doesn't know what to do. Because he's like, what am I going to say? They're in love with the mitzvah. So how am I going to talk bad about them? That's kind of funny that, like, yeah, we picked one mitzvah. You were bad all year, but you Shofar! You're going to do it. And then that's somehow going to do something, but okay. What?
He never learns from the previous one.
Well, this Rashi doesn't... I don't see how Rashi can use this to explain it as being confused, that it could be a difference to you. Because Rashi just says, "Kishiyishma Yisrael mechababin et mitzvot mistatmin dvarav." He doesn't know what to say. What can he say? There's nothing for him to say. It's not about confusing. But Tosfos does. Let's look at what Tosfos says. Tema. Oh, no, this is a different Tosfos, actually. No. Kidei la'arbev ha-satan, the second one. Piresh ba'aruch b'Yerushalmi bila amaves alanatzach uksiv v'ayah b'yom hu yitakab b'shafar gadol kad shama kal shipura zimna chad abayo v'lo bahil v'kad shama tanyan amavada izaw shipura di yitakab b'shafar gadol u'mata zimna d'ilintva u'mita'arbe v'leit le'ipnai l'me'ved katikoya. Basically what this Tosa says, he quotes the Aruch, is saying that when he hears this, he's going to think, there's so many kolot, it must be that this is the Yom HaGadol, this is Mashiach coming. And so he's gonna say, all right, the game's over. There's nothing for me to do anymore. Now, for this, Mike could say, you know,
here we go.
He should learn from year to year.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Any.
Okay. Actually, let's look at the above Tosfos, because I think we're going to be almost done with the Gemara, because we have to go back and do some stuff, and it's already 9:15. So let's look at the top Tosfos. Token Imrin Kishon Omdim. Is an important Tosfos outside. Tema. Hakavra Mishum Bal Tosif. How do we blow the shofar so many times in Rosh Hashanah? It's supposed... Max Daraisa, max is 30. Alright? Three sets of Tashrat. Tashrat. Maximum, you get to 30. You have to do it from Malchios, Sekhonis, and Shofros. Fine. But how do you get to 60, let alone 100? Bal Tosif. Says, maybe you'll tell me that once you're already yotze the mitzvah, so then the extra tkios, they're not part of the mitzvah, they're just tkios. They're just random tkios. They're not actually part of the mitzvah. He says, no, because we already have a Gemara that says you're not allowed to add on psukim to the Birchas Kohanim. What's going to happen? You're going to say the Birchas Kohanim, you're going to say the three psukim, and then you're going to add on a fourth one a little bit later. The next set of the Kohanim are going to come in, they're going to do all four because they don't understand what happened over there. So you can't just add on extra tzkios. So his second answer is, V'yesh lomer delo shayach bal tosif ba'asiyas mitzvah achas beis pamim. Kegon. Okay, so he says, what's going on? Yeah, you're doing the mitzvah more than once. You're doing it twice. No reason why you can't do a mitzvah twice. Just like a Kohen can go to one tzibur, do Berachas Kohanim, and then he can run over to the other side of town, go to another tzibur, Shachris, same Shachris, and do Berachas Kohanim again. Nothing to stop him from doing that. As long as you don't add on to the mitzvah.
But he couldn't do it in the same tzibur.
Well, the tzibur can't daven shachris twice.
Yes, in the same tzibur.
He does do it in the same tzibur. Shachris, musaf.
No.
He could.
But
Berachas Kohanim is once a day. Maximum twice a day.
And 30 times.
So you blow the shofar 30 times for the core mitzvah. And then you keep doing it.
So then Tav Shachar is a few times. What's
okay.
No brachot on the second Tav Shachar.
One bracha covers all of
them. Never.
You can shake lulav how many times in a day?
That's what he says next. No, lulav v'chozem v'nota. Why not? V'chein tokeh v'chozem v'tokeh v'gam ematanos bikur nami im nosin b'ker ne'echad beis pa me'en zabatos. So there's no batos if with repeatedly doing a mitzvah.
Batos tokeh, if he does it a second time for another tefillah, would he make the bracha second up?
He could if they didn't make it.
For them, for sure.
From that perspective, yeah, 100%.
But don't you have counter pressure on a shofar because it's a musical instrument, especially not we do it now.
It's not a musical instrument.
And they used to do it on Shabbat.
It's not a musical instrument.
If you blow shofar on Shabbat, stam on Shabbat.
Not because it's a musical. Not because there's no problem with blowing shofar on Shabbat from the perspective of it being a musical instrument.
Huh?
No. That's the explicit Gemara. It says that's not a problem.
Even on a stam Shabbat, you put a
No, the reason we don't blow shofar on Shabbat is because it's muktzah.
Yeah.
And it's muktzah because you might carry it.
Yeah. I know that, but isn't...
No, it's not because... It's not because of the music. The Gemara explicitly says that it's not music. Yeah. It's not a problem with music. In fact, you remind me of one other thing. The fact that we don't blow shofar on Shabbat. That's another place where Rashi's wrong. Right? There's another thing that Rashi said wrong. He's got two of them by shofar. The Ramban points this out. Rashi says, this one, I think on Zichron, yeah, on the word Zichron Shua, Rashi says, Zichron Shua, not Yom Shua. Zichron Shua is a reference, the rabbis say, to when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, because then you only have a Zichron Shua, because you can't blow shofar. Rashi says that in his Perush on Chumash. And Ban goes crazy. He says, why are you giving that as Pshat in Chumash? The entire idea that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos is only rabbinic. It's Gzeira de Rabba. What do you mean? He made that up and who knows? Well, he didn't make it up, but it's attributed to him. Yeah, they used to, and they did in the Beit HaMikdash until the end of time. They always did in the Beit HaMikdash. They blew shofar. They blew shofar on Shabbos. So why are you saying that? So this is a Bam Kasha on Rashi. Why is he saying that it's Daraisa? Now, you could always say, okay, Rashi has his reasons for giving Pshat and Chumash. He's just trying to give you a perish. He's not necessarily trying to say this is what the Pasuk means. It's just a perish. You read Rashi, you learn things. That's one answer. Chassam Sofer has a great answer over here. I thought it was brilliant. This is one of those cases where it really shows you his brilliance. So Chassam Sofer says, actually, Rashi's talking about a very specific case. He's not talking about Rosh Hashanah. Was that what it was? He's talking about. Okay, when you blow the shofar in Yovel, on Yom Kippur, that sets the slaves free. Okay, that sets the slaves free, and I think what he says, I have to look it up again, is that that year, if the shofar. The shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah, I think what he says is it also does something. It also does, it actually, you know, halakhically, it creates a reality. And that year, if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, or maybe he was even talking about Yom Kippur, I can't remember exactly, if you blow the shofar, it will actually do something, it will be a malacha, because it's setting people free. It does like a kinyan almost, or it creates hefker.
Yeah.
And then da'oraisa, you wouldn't be allowed to blow the shofar that year. If I remember correctly, maybe he kind of transforms Rashi and he explains Rashi in such a way that he's actually talking about Yom Kippur instead of Rosh Hashanah, if I remember correctly. I don't remember exactly. But that's his chiddush. His chiddush is that Rashi is right. He's only happens to be talking about the year of Yovel, when the shofar actually does something. In a normal year, a shofar doesn't do anything halakhically, doesn't change reality in any way. But the shofar itself, by itself, is not considered a malacha. It's chachma ve'ena malacha. That's what the Gemara in, I don't remember which Masechet says.
It's unique to the shofar? Because it only makes one sound?
Yeah, because I think it's not considered a musical instrument. First of all, there's no fixing it.
It only makes one sound.
Yeah.
You can't play notes.
No, you can play this.
Play different tunes.
But that makes it not a musical instrument?
You can play different.
You can't.
Yeah, different sounds come out. Sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's lower. Even when you blow on Rosh Hashanah.
I don't think that's... I mean, That little triangle that Baldrick plays in Blackadder, ding, yeah. That's a musical instrument.
Why are you allowed to use, people would use a tuning fork, right, on Shabbat, right? The reason the tuning fork is because you can't get it to play a different note.
Really? That makes it, that makes it leaner? Yeah. Really?
Okay. So the same way with the triangle.
Well, the Isur of playing musical instrument on Shabbos is that you might, Shemitaken, Klei Shir, you might fix it. Okay, we're on Shabbos. Hold on.
But then
the sound makes is relevant. No, but you can't fix it if it's only 10 1. A bugle, like a bugle, you can make 3 or 4 notes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true because you have, you have drums also. You only make one. Here.
Give me non-string.
Halacha quotes it.
What's that?
Anything that can make a sound from your action is also. What about whistling? Only whistling is maybe not real.
Well, if it's not
an instrument.
It's showing at the Ken.
Here, here it's a Gemara in Shabbat. Gemara in sorry, it's Gemara in here. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Kaf Ted Amud Bet. I'll read it to you right now. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Kaf Ted Amud Bet says here. This whole Gemara is right here about this. Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. That's the Mishnah last in the last parak of Rosh Hashanah. B'Mikdash Hayu Tokin Avelo B'Medina. Right, they used to blow in Shul in the Beis Hamikdash Shul, but not outside the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says Minan Mili. So he says Kasev Echad Omer Shabbaton Zichron Shura Kasev Echad Omer Yom Shura Yelachem. Lo Kasha Kan B'Yom Tov Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. That's the source of Rashi. This is what the Ramban would say to Rashi. But if it's Daraisa, you're not allowed to, then they wouldn't be allowed to in the base of Mikdash either. So it says, no. Also, it's not a malacha. It's chachma ve'ina malacha.
Why does it say you can't do malacha in the Beit Hamikdash? Ain't shvut, ain't shvut.
Malacha is the raisa, shvut is the rabbanim. Ain't shvut b'mikdash means that you're allowed to do the rabbanim in the mikdash.
Shvut.
You're not allowed to do stam daraisas. Now sometimes you do stam daraisas like shchita, but that's not ain't shvut b'mikdash. That's because and you're allowed to do shchita only in specific cases, like for the tamid, right? You can't bring in a dava on Shabbos. Because you're not allowed to do shechita, even in the Beis Hamikdash. It's not a heter gomer. It's just things that you need to do, then you can do those things. But things that you don't need to do, you don't. But anyways, so Tosus' point, I think that's what we were talking about, is that you can do any mitzvah more than once. Fine, let's stop there. Okay, let's look at our... okay, before we get to the sheet, turn the page over to look at this Tosus Keman Matzlina. Go back to the subject of our sidurim. How do our sidurim work? We pray every day for health, wealth, happiness, wisdom, parnasa, Yerushalayim, everything. We pray for everything every day. The assumption is that this works. So Tosa says, "V'im tamar lo rabbanu nami milo matzlina nurfeinu ubirkat hashanim." He's going now on the opinion, the first answer of the Gemara, that it's only according to Rabbi Yossi. So what does that mean? Right? The Gemara asked, Keman Matzlinan, according to which opinion do we daven nowadays? Now the second opinion says, it works according to Rabbanim because Rabbi Yitzchak says that Tzaka can break the Gezar Din. But in Gemara, you always have to also focus on other answers, right? The first answer was, must be Rabbi Yossi. So basically, all Sidurim in the world were written for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Natan. Does that mean that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, whoever the Tanya B'Yishmael is, they didn't daven every day? Because why would they daven? Yeah. Is already decided what's going to happen to them? That's impossible. So Tosa says, "V'in talmud Rabbanon nami milo matzlina rufeinu u'birchat hashanim." We have a Shmona Esrei. We have the Amidah. Everybody, the Anshe Knesset Gdola made up the Amidah. We all say that. Everybody has to say that. V'od Rabbi Yehuda damar acha adam min damar shoshana u'gzar din shel anechta b'yom kippurim. When you go to visit a chole, then you pray for him. The Ramah says that's the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, is to pray for a chole. So how do we do that? First answer. Yeah, he says, if you don't pray, that we don't get sick. Because that's decided on Rosh Hashanah. Only Rabbi Yossi would pray that I don't get sick. Yeah? Aval shi terape matzlinan. But everybody can pray that I can be, that I should be healed. The matai yechlu nigzar matai yitrapu. Lo nigzar. Tosas, Rabbi Natan tells you a little bit about the celestial mechanics. He says the gzar din that comes down on Rosh Hashanah is only about the first thing that happens to you, that when you're going to get sick. But it doesn't say anything about you getting better or not. So anytime you get sick, you can trust that the door is completely open to get better. As far as the din from Rosh Hashanah is concerned. So that's what we pray for. V'amar b'reisha neda, anoda mina mevushal, ahavta Rav Yosef, kitziri, kitziri, mamash, meri, rabbanon, v'hashta maslinan, akitziri, shi'itrapu, v'amari, hainu rabbanon, shalo yachlu. Okay. U'mash mispalim b'Rosh Hashanah, b'rkat Hashanim, hainu, kitilakama b'pirkin, shi'im pasku, k'shamim, u'atim, sharidum, hamakob izmanan. And you could say the same thing for everything else. That if there is, all of a sudden, the skies dry up, so that was what was Nigzar Rosh Hashanah, but guess what? You can still pray that they open again. In a way, it's the same thing as getting better. So according to Rabbanan, Rabbi Natan has them covered. You can still pray that you can undo the Gzar Din. Not that you can prevent it, but that you can undo it.
Must be, otherwise what does Choni do?
Well, was what?
It was Choni din. If it was, yeah, going to be decided.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's telling you how to read that story. He's telling you that that was always going to happen from Rosh Hashanah. But what happened after that? What happened after that? He couldn't even stop it. He could only undo it.
He could stop the
drought. Second answer. Vod Yeshlamar Tosa says that Tfila de Rabim Shani Digzar Dinam Nikra Kedil Kaman. Or we can answer more simply that tefillah derabim, everybody agrees, can rip up anything. So what was the second answer in the Gemara? At any time. So the second answer of the Gemara, now we have to understand that according to Rabbanan, the Chiddush was, Rabbi Yitzchak was teaching that even an individual can rip up a gzar din. Because the Gemara already says that that prayer can rip up a gzar din. So what Tosfos is adding, he's saying that rabim, everybody already knew. Even the Rabbanan agreed in Havamina that Tefillah de Rabbim can rip Gzar Din. V'ayi de Shabbos de Yehud de Nami Yesh Liyashiv Kai Gapne de Dami le Rabbim de Havamatzli B'Hadei Al Kol Cholim. Yeah.
Why should
it always? What?
Why is it always?
But does it always?
No, it doesn't
always. Yeah, of course, but it has the power to.
Why is it necessary to have a specific time for Gzar Din? Especially because it's largely undone. What is the
What's the point? Okay.
I mean,
the truth is, Rosh Hashanah, point is that if you don't pray, that's what's going to happen.
I suppose that's the point for all of them. Just to give yourself the year a bit of a focus and a bit of a focal point and a. But it's not as though anyone would say that the day after Yom Kippur you can go and do whatever you want, because Yom Kippur next year Yom Kippur is coming. And it's not as though you would say that if you do real tshuva half an hour after Yom Kippur, after set the whole Yom Kippur watching TV, you know, God's going to say, listen, it's not like a human jury that they're sitting and they finish the trial and that's it, court's closed.
Well,
although we build
that, you say it is.
We build that.
Maybe it is, or maybe you have a Toshmin Yatzeret, right?
But it can't be.
Meaning these things are possibly like that. We don't know.
But it says, right? God waits every day till for you to do tshuva.
If we do nothing, the person is not going to get better. The person does nothing, they're not going to get better. No one doubts whether he doesn't do anything different, he's not going to get better. The world doesn't seem to work that
way. Oh, no. You're right. In terms of, you're right.
They're not asking for explanation.
So tefillah is one of the ingredients over there, and one of the more powerful ones. And yet, and sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is yes. And yeah,
but I'm not asking about the effectiveness of tefillah. I'm asking about conceptually. If you were to come to the rabbi, like I would start with the blood and the shofar and Rosh Hashanah and say, listen, I've been very bad.
And by the way, just one second. By the way, in theory, right? There are many people who would believe that, okay, and you could also daven and not do medicine, and you'll also get better. and get better because of the tefillah.
Yeah.
Right? So in other words, what are you going to say to that person? So why should I take medicine? No, you say you take medicine because it's a good idea. Because you don't want to take risks with your life. So in other words, both things are useful, and you should do them both. And neither one is guaranteed. And that's why we do both. Yeah, what'd you say, Rabbi?
I'm saying if you were to come 5 minutes after the end of Yom Kippur,
right,
having had a bad day and been a rotten person all the time, and said, right, I wanted to tshuva, here I am, I realize I made a mistake. No one's going to say to you, listen, it's 5 past Yom Kippur, the brother shofar, forget it, come back next year. God's waiting for you to do tshuva every day, he's waiting for us.
Right, but there are mechanics. So this, frankly, I was saving this for the next year, and I'm going to save this next year. We're not going to open this up right now. In the Hemshech of the Daf, we have the probably the more well-known section, which is about the Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim. Are we going to have another shir before Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur? Maybe. Yeah, we should, right? That's why I was saving it for that. What?
Rosh Hashanah.
Why Rosh Hashanah is your Monday?
Not 2 weeks.
Rosh Hashanah.
The week after that is Monday.
Maybe. Maybe we'll find another time for it. We'll see. It's worth finding time for it. Because there, you know, the Rishonim really dig into, you know, how does this all work? It's something that we find uncomfortable because, like, what kind of, well, how do we know that it works like this? But they write about it. They, you know, there's a big machlokes about what is the judgment of Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur actually about? Is it this world? Is it the next world? Is it what's going to happen to me in Shamayim? Is it what's going to happen to me in the future? Is it undoable? All these kinds of things. The Gemara talks about it, and we should try to understand it. But I don't. We don't have time for that right now. What I do want to get to is, if we turn to the sheet. So first, we'll skip the Ma'asha for now. Look at the Ritva for a minute. It says, "Kaman matzlin ha'edna v'im tomar tepukle amay matzlin ha'edna rafeinu Hashem ne'arfei kulei tfilas yom kippur yom yudches." Ritzon lomer dahatam kevin detzarchei rabim v'chol yalma matzlinan who the gzar din detibur mikra aval the yachid hu dekashelan. This is what I was saying before. In other words, there's no question about why the tzibur davens. Question is why the individuals daven, because according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the judgment's already done. Tekashlan v'asikna da'afilu teimik rabbanan and k'Rabbi Yitzchak da'afilu b'yachid yafetzaka avlachag zin v'ahayu kimta ikar v'hachi sugin v'choduchta v'amuda v'avgav delay telchachat Rabbi Yosi v'hachi minhaga ba'alma. So the end conclusion is that indeed the individual can rip up the gezar din, and that is the halacha, and that's the minhag. We don't pass on Rabbi Yosi. It's interesting. We do not pass on Rabbi Yosi that the judgment occurs every day. Rather, the judgment is once a year, but you have the opportunity to rip up that gzar din every day. Hashem is judging you once a year, and you have the opportunity to rip up that gzar din every day. What? Oh, okay, fine. So that's that. Also, you're right. That is the way that we understand it. Is you're right. Tikatev Rosh Hashanah, Chatima Biyom Kippur, and then that's it. And then that's it. And then every other day you have the ability to undo it. Right. Depending on what part of Europe you come from.
but if you, as you say, if you can rip it up any day, I mean,
you can change it every day, but there's inertia there, I guess.
Yeah. There's a focal point for getting gzar din, and it's very different ripping up a gzar din than getting a good din in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Can you rip it up for good off of it?
Can you blow it?
I'm sure you can.
I guess so. I would expect yes.
Otherwise, for sure, if you don't keep off, you will be a free.
But maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe if you're supposed to get a good year, you'll get a good year either way. Don't know.
Also, it's a long game. You may get a good year this year, but there's always next year.
Well, there isn't. It's 1 year at a time. That's what we said.
No,
that's what we said.
I'm saying if you can rip it up for the bad, let's say you can't rip it up for the bad, so you've been exarting good year.
Right. If you
start behaving like bad, it's next year.
It's over.
So that'll get you. You'll find you.
No, for sure. But that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is an important part of the Ritva that I wanted to get to. The fact that we daven about sicknesses, Dafka b'chol. We only do that on the during the week. Aba b'Shabbos lo matzlinan. Except for really, really endangered people. What's the difference between chasima to the din? I think that's what he's asking. Ma hefresh yesh ben din lechatima. Dastam nidon haynu lomar ploni zakai ploni chayav. What's the difference? This is where I got my analogy from before, where you have the conviction and the verdict rather, and then later on is the sentencing. Why you need 10 days for that? Maybe things that you do during those 10 days can affect what your sentence is going to be. Okay, that's how we understand it. I think I wanted to do the Maharal now. It's a very long Maharal. I don't understand all of it. But let's see what we can do. What? Sure, there is. And there are also Maharals that I understand. But this Maharal... Okay. Some of it I understand. And the nice thing about Maharal is that he repeats himself at least 3 times at everything. So you didn't get the first time. You didn't get the second time. So there's a good chance of the third time. Okay, Tanya, I don't need donor. He says, Maskana de milta ki gimma machlokas badaber. There's three different machlokas here. Three different opinions. But time in the call echad ki Rabbi Meir sober da kol nidon of Rosh Hashanah ki kvar marnu lecha ki Rosh Hashanah hu ikar hazman vuhu rosh the call hazman. Says that's the key about Rosh Hashanah is that it is the beginning of time, and then therefore it is the head of all the time, and it's kind of the beginning point. Uv neken roishi and nidon akol Rosh Hashanah ki Rosh Hashanah hu hatchala tarishon vhatchala. It's the beginning and the end. It's the end of last year and it's the beginning of this year. Rabbi Yehuda Asvir Leitame Didei Devada Rosh Hashanah Rosh Inyan Hatchala Lefichach Ra'uishi Yerosh Lechol Adinin. But the Gemaradin given the Mechulakim Gemaradin Shekolachad Bezmano. There's a Gemaradin for each one. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of everything. Everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara din gets pushed off to their specific times. And what's the specific time? The specific time is whatever is relevant to that element of nature. Mm-hmm. So you have a Gezara din of Rosh Hashanah that occurs, even on the rain, let's say. But the Gemara din of the rain is from the beginning of the rainy season, which is Sukkot. And the same for Tefuah, the same for Perot. So that's how we understand. V'tana didan sover, but he maintains the focus on Rosh Hashanah as the beginning. V'tanadi dan sover our Mishnah ki kevan shehem uchulachim bePesach zman tefuah v'chein kolachad v'echad bezmano kolachadu bezmano ve'in lo yitzikim Rosh Hashanah v'lefichah kolachad v'echad bezmano. Our Tana of our Mishnah says no. Rosh Hashanah is only important for the din of individual human beings, but everything else gets its own time. Sukkos, the water, has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Tefuah has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Everything gets its own time and place. V'tamad Rabbi Yosi shamar ki ha'adam nidon v'kol yom dalecha ki ha'din hu shakadosh baruch hu dan et ha'olam yihye ma sheyeh ha'din hu mitzad ki ka'asher noteh ha'adam el ma shezulato mitzad ha'din ra'ui le'avod o peranut. So here he's going to wax poetic. By the way, what I think wasn't clear before is that according to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Nassan, it's not just man that gets judged at every single moment, it seems. At least at first glance, it seems that everything is getting judged at every moment. It would seem. That's not totally clear. Could be that it's just man, but it seems like it's everything. So kikasher nota adam el mashi zulato mitzad adin v'ori la'avod ha'pranot hinei unidon b'midat adin ledavar Hashem mitchayev bo b'chol zman shein midat adin shalatet eino nidon ki ena b'tziut ela b'midat adin. Says there has to be a time of judgment. U'midat adin hazeh u'mitzad hityachsut v'itabkut ela nimtza. So the time of judgment is going to be when there is a relationship between the judge and the judged. When you are close to him, so then that's when he starts to judge you. Okay. That's why according to the way that we see things, that Hashem does judge between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's a time when he is closer to us. And that's why he's the Chazal say, the Gemara in Tanis, I think, that we call the Maaser Yisrael Tshuva because of this pasuk. Yerushu Hashem he matzo, seek him out when he's close to you. Korbiyot karov, call out to him when he's close. Why is he close? He's judging. That's when somebody is judging you, when he's close, which makes a certain amount of sense, right? The pu'ula, the Maharal the Maharal, the way he understands agadita is always metaphorical. All agadita, according to the Maharal, is metaphorical. So, metaphorical / philosophical. So he's taking this whole Gemara, like any other Gemara, and turning it into concepts that we can understand by analogizing it. So he's saying, so for example, you know, when a technician is looking at something, is evaluating something, so he gets close to it, he gets up close, and he looks at it, right? He doesn't do it from far away. He gets up close, and he looks at it. So he's saying that when Hashem is close to us, so to speak, he looks at us deeply. When is that? During the Esrei Shemitah?
Is he close to us because he wants to look at us closely, or is he close to us and therefore look at us closely?
It sounds like he gets close to us during those days.
Anyway. And once he's there, then we get
it. Sounds like
it doesn't come down.
I think so.
The lift.
I think so.
He comes for the checkup. Does Hashem come for the checkup? Or is he here anyway?
Once he comes,
and then he judges us, or the time closes anyway. And whilst
doesn't matter. Judges us.
What's it?
Of course, scary is that one really. He's coming out especially for the lift.
I don't know. You know, every year, same time, same place.
That's when. No, I'm saying, is there a time Hashem comes down to judge us, or is there a time Hashem comes down and then once?
The flip side is, you think you're judging for the bad. We also mean judge for the good. No, they're saying, listen, you get the chance to.
That's the scary one.
Yeah, you get the chance.
I think the answer is he comes close once a year, and therefore, during that time of closeness, there is din. As we're going to see, because. That's for sure the way it is, because right now he didn't get to Rabbi Yossi. Like he's leading up to getting to Rabbi Yossi. And we're going to see once he gets to Rabbi Yossi how intense this is going to get.
But then, I mean, he's closest to us. Again, it's not necessarily only now for Lam Hazeh, and we don't really understand that.
He's closer. In other words, he is closer.
On not only the physical, also on Olam Haba, also on what we do generally in. Because otherwise it wouldn't make sense. Right? Some bad, you know.
What do you mean, Olam Haba? You mean he's closer to us?
He's closer not only to us who go to shul, who go to whatever. He's close to everyone. Right?
Who's everyone?
Everyone. Anyone out there.
Yeah.
Someone who believes, someone who doesn't believe.
Yeah, I think so.
More bad.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and therefore, I'm saying it's closeness. We always look at it as like, keep judging us, well, those to life, those to death.
Right.
I mean, people who don't do anything.
Right. Still judging them.
They still judge them, and they still maybe have good things happen to them.
Yeah.
And therefore, the judgment has to be not only.
Yeah. I think the point you're making is that in the Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel scheme, it's objective. Hashem gets close during this time of the year for everybody, whether they like it or whether they don't like it, whether they know it or whether they don't know it. He's close. And therefore, he's looking more closely. He's sitting there with a microscope. Yeah, I think that's fair. Rosh Yeh Rosh Hashanah Yom Adin Levnei Adam Mitzad Zeh Kizeh Yom Ikar V'Rosh Kamosh Ketav Yelamala. He's repeating himself now. Mitzad Shu Ikar Adavar Hinei Chal Midat Adin Alav Ki Kol Davar Shu Ikar Bo Ra'ush Yadan Fisha Adin Adav. Okay, let's skip past this part. Okay, so he's saying that in each one of these cases, I think what he's saying, by the way, is when it comes to, for example, Pesach, so when it gets to the beginning of the season of the Tefuah, so he comes close to the world to look at the Tefuah also. And at that point, he decides, okay, I'm close now, I'm trying to decide, I'm making a din on the Tefuah. So it's the same thing for each element. So on Rosh Hashanah, it's for people, on Pesach, it's for the Tefuah, and et cetera, et cetera. Now jump to the next underlined part. Usvilei Rabbi Yossi. Man is close to Hashem because he is everything. Everything is here for him. I think that's what he means by kol, that he is, he's kind of the center of the universe. Hine ra'ui shiyeh karov elav Hashem yitbarach kol yom. Rabbi Natan kol rega. So Rabbi Yossi says, no, man's different. And this is where I retract what I said before. According to Maharal, it sounds like for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Natan, they're only talking about the din of
people.
Of people. And he's saying that using the same scheme, there is no such thing as a time when God is not close to man. And therefore, the midat din is all the time. Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's every morning. According to Rabbi Nassan, it's every moment. V'achilik sheyesh bein Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Nassan, ki the Rabbi Yossi yesh la'adam dveikut b'boro kol yom, ki adanu ki adam nimshach m'vidat hayom, shechen yesh bo ramachiv. I didn't understand this part at all. He says that Rabbi Yossi believes in the morning, and then he says something about his 248 limbs. Maybe you can help me with this. Shechen yesh bo ramachiv arim b'minyan, u'keminyan avram shehu m'vidat hayom, לפיכך כאשר אדם יש בו זה, יש בו זה לקח ספיר עלי אחר שכל יום ויום יש לו דבקות בבור הוא נידון בכל יום. I don't know what the Ramach Ibarim has to do with anything. I really don't. I didn't follow that. And Rabbi Nassan disagrees. He says it's every moment because man is even above days. I don't know exactly what Midat HaYom means, but that's apparently the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nassan, that Rabbi Yossi believes that man has a special relationship with God that is connected to days, versus Rabbi Nassan, who doesn't believe that. He thinks that the relationship is all the time. By the way, if I were to...
It's the gematria of Avraham as well.
Yeah, I thought maybe that's what he was saying, but what is it, so what does that do for us, though? Ah, that's good. That's right.
I think what's missing is the concept of a beginning, right? So I remember, I think it was Rabbi Tetz in London, he spoke about how in the beginning of anything, in Rosh Hashanah, he was talking about Rosh Hashanah, everything that's ever going to happen to that thing is contained in the beginning. It's like a seed, right?
Right.
Everything's going to happen.
Right. Okay.
So if you think about it like that, then God is going to judge everything at the beginning, right? And that explains how there's a judgment is in what is this seed like. Now, it doesn't mean that once the seed is growing in the tree, you can't prune it, you can't water it, you can't make it better, but ultimately it's going to be quite dependent on what it was at the very beginning, which was
right.
The judgment, and you can change it. And that would fit in here because he's saying that the beginning of it, man is not like that. Man doesn't have an annual agricultural cycle. He lives,
Every day is different.
Every day is different.
Mm.
And that would say why Shachrit is important, because that's the beginning of the day.
Okay.
And Rabbi Nachman takes it even further. This is actually, even Shachrit doesn't matter.
Every minute can change.
It's rolling as opposed
saying
to
saying man is much more dynamic than any of
right.
these elements.
As opposed to Tua, which has a seed, right? And the judgment of the Gzardin on that seed is going to influence it all the way through, even though you can change it, but it's always going to have some encompass of what that's.
So Yossi says every morning you wake up and you kind of
that's the
you
beginning.
Define
that's
your relationship with God anew every single day.
And everything's going to happen.
Rabbi Nassim says it's every single moment of every day.
And plants and animals, plants are twice is a cycle, so it has to be the beginning of it.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, fine. I actually thought what he was going to go is he was going to say that man is different because he chooses to have the relationship with God, and so. It's almost. I would have almost expected Rabbi Yossi to be conditional. In other words, maybe man only has the judgment every day if he thinks about God every day. This is kind of a Rambam. Rambam believed that our relationship with God is dependent. Well, God's concentration on us is dependent on our concentration on Him. And so, if you think about God more than He thinks about you, so to speak, more, and you have Gemara Hashgacha Pratit. And so, this Gemara, I would have expected that Rambam would have interpreted it that way, that Rabbi Yossi believes that you get judged every day with the provision that you're actually thinking about God every day. Rabbi Nassim just takes that a step further. But I think you're right in terms of the Maharal. I think you're right, Rabbi, that that's what he means by Midas Ayom. And Andrew, I think you're right also. That's what he means by the morning with the Avram. And so...
Very philosophical, but you couldn't cope without the ability to change the din on a daily basis.
Right.
Man would cease to function.
So... But I guess, like we were saying before, the difference between Rabbi Yossi and his counterparts is that Rabbi Yossi believes that there is no single point of judgment for man. It doesn't exist. Every day is different. Whereas the others say, no, there is a single point where God looks at the whole world and decides, and that judgment can be adjusted over the year. It can be changed. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't, defined at a certain point.
Well, I think even for Rabbi Yossi, there is a Yom Kippur. There's a day of judgment. It's just that can be changed.
Yeah, so some ask, how does Rabbi Yossi deal with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Let's look at the next two paragraphs if we have time. In the next one he says, Vata, ben adam, al tashkiach al philosophim. Don't worry about the philosophers. Asher amru ki echi tachen shinui al Hashem yitbarach liot mitkarev pam b'diach alon pam lo. That Hashem is sometimes close and sometimes not. This is classic Maharal. The Maharal says, every idea that I'm explaining to you, I know that from an objective, truth, philosophic standpoint, this doesn't make sense. Of course, from God's perspective, he's always equally close to Hashem, equally close to us. However, we only can look at things from our perspective and how it seems to us. This is Mitzad HaMekabel. And Hashem usually conducts himself with us in a way that we can understand. And so, that's what's going on over here. That's only because man is so great. Man is different, like you said. Man is different from plants and things like that. And Rabbi Nassim says that it's every single moment, because he is even beyond the daily cycle. Okay. That's, in other words, so that's how he deals with that problem. In other words, the philosophical problem, he just says, look, this is just the way that we see things. It's not the way that we necessarily are. But halacha lemaisa, the way that we see things is the way that they are. Because that's the way that we understand them. And so he decides to act that way. And then in the last paragraph, he says, Al tamarki Rabbi Yossi sfir lei de'in adam nidam Rosh Hashanah legamrei. Well, what are you going to say? Rabbi Yossi doesn't believe in Rosh Hashanah at all? What did it say in his machzor? Right? It's just about that one small thing. Yeah. And every single day, he decides, he kind of, he gets up in the morning and he either pushes it off or allows it to come that specific day. In other words, Hashem will say every single year, this is surprising according to Rabbi Yossi, every single year he'll decide, okay, this year you're going to live, this year you're going to die, but I haven't decided which day yet. You're the one who's going to decide which day. You can even push it off completely. Fine. Okay. So that's this Maharal over here. I did want to, if you can just turn the page back for just a second. There's this Maharsha that we should know. I'll just read the beginning of it. Tanit Rabbi Shmuel hi barba prakim katav haran. Why is a person judged on Rosh Hashanah? So the Maharal said it's the beginning of the year. Okay, but that's kind of arbitrary. How did it become the beginning of the year? The world was created on, not December 25th, but Kaf Hei Elul. Right? And if the world was created on Elul Kaf Hei, that means that man was created on Aleph Tishrei. Dahinu Be'achad B'Tishrei. Be'yud Aleph Nidon. What's Yud Aleph? Don't know. Yud Aleph Nidon. Amar Lei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh Siman LeBanecha Keshem. Like, just like I made him and I judged him on that day. So that's where it comes from. In other words, Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah because Kafei Elul goes to Aleph Tishrei. Now there's some discussion over here because there's Machlokas when the world was created, whether it's created in Tishrei, whether it's created in Nisan. That's another Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. But you should know about this this point in the run. And I guess I'll just end by just pointing out that it's interesting that man was judged on that day, right?
That was the first judgment. That's my question.
Right. Now, if man was judged on that day, how would you have expected that judgment to go?
He's just been on
the first day.
He had one job. He had one job. So if he really was judged on that day, how would you have expected it to go?
Well, he didn't do it.
Not very well.
Not very well.
Didn't go very well.
Right.
He was exiled from Gan Eden.
He was exiled from Gan Eden, and he was, you know, sentenced that he was going to eventually die. But I think it's Mishael Sharm who points out and says, okay, but he didn't die on that day. And so he says, yeah, because that's the power of tshuva. Hashem invented the idea of tshuva, that the din is always going to be able to be changed. And so the tshuva, according to the Mishael Sharm, tshuva is time. The gift of tshuva is that we don't get smitten by lightning
instantly.
Like you would have expected. Tshuva is just that simple. It is time. It's time to change what you've done. Because by din, you did something wrong, you should be punished immediately. But because he gives us that time, we have the opportunity to change things. That's the gift. And that's what he gave Adam Rishon on that first day. All right, we'll stop there tonight. If we do have another opportunity, we'll go on to that other sugya of Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim, which is a big sugya. Amongst the Rishonim, it's far from simple how to understand that Gemara. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.